QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. At 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, one announcement I have all right now is that this is, of course, Valentine's Day. And for a lot of people out there with XYLs, we're going to try to keep the net a little bit short tonight and move ahead with a lot of good stuff next week. So anyway, that's about it. So the topic for the evening, we're going to be working with something out of QST again for March issue, page 38. And this is involving using a webcam as a microscope. Pretty cool stuff, especially if you're working with small stuff and you have eyes like most of us, as we tend to have glasses just to see the regular stuff, not even counting the surface mounted stuff. So pretty cool stuff. All right, moving ahead, we'll do our little brief roster here and then get going. First on the list I got here, my partner in crime, WB6CLZ.
You're ready to rock and roll, Tom. Good evening, Tom. Good evening, everyone in the net. This is WB6CLZ.
Hey, Mike, thanks for joining us this evening. And how about your XYL WB6CIN? Cindy.
Good evening, Tom. This is WB6CIN. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Good deal there, Cindy, and good seeing Mike and yourself this morning. Teddy Bear Breakfast with the club. Great deal there. How about KA6CIA, George?
Good evening, Tom and the net. KA6CIA, Lucerne Valley.
Hey, George, hopefully it's warmer down there than here. We're still trying to burn off this inch of snow we got last night. So, all right, moving ahead, we'll give a quick call for Nancy. I'm not sure if she's out there. KE6QI, Nancy. And Harry, KE6RJ, Harry. And nothing heard there. How about, let's see here, KI6SKN, Chris. Nothing heard there. How about KJ6HZS, Mike?
Good evening, Tom the Nets. For all you women who have their men trained, happy Valentine's Day. Hi, hi.
And that comes from Mountain Man Mike. Good evening there, Mike. Glad to have you with us this evening. Appreciate that. Courtesy check-in for your dad if he's listening. K6EKX. Moving along here, KJ6FIL, Mike.
Good evening, everybody, and happy Valentine's to whoever it applies. Glad to hear you got a little bit of snow. KJ6FIL.
Just enough to require chains, Mike. Oh, boy. Anyway, also, let's see, moving on down here. How about WA6ITC, Rod? Yeah, nothing heard. Well, maybe he's away from his radio there. Moving on down, KJ6KDL, Jim.
KJ6KDL here with KDK within listening range.
Hey, glad to have you both out there and try to stay warm down there. Let's see here, W6GZI Frank. Nothing heard. How about KI6IQA Kelly?
Good evening, KI6IQA.
Kelly, thanks for being out there. Appreciate that. And we'll give a quick call. I know she's out there to N6BOPN. Nothing heard. She's probably hanging out over there in Keller. How about K6GVL Ron in Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GVL.
Okay, Ron, hey, did you guys get any snow over there at all?
This is Green Valley Lake. We always get snow.
Sorry, maybe I shouldn't have asked. How about 86PL Harold in Riverside? Hey, Harold, appreciate you being out there checking in every week there. K6LCS, Clint in Harupa Valley. And nothing heard. Next to see Judith and Ken, I don't think they're in radio range. We'll give one of them a call. W6JOM, Judith. And I didn't think so. All right, how about K6YNW out there by Palm Springs? Chris.
Good evening, Tom and Annette, K6YNW.
Also out there in the lower desert, how about W6POO, Chip?
Hey, Tom and Annette, good evening. W6POO here, and happy to hear you're doing something about vision. I almost tossed out a coax switcher because of bad vision, but it was my eyes that were failing, not the switcher. W6POO here.
All right, Chip, glad to have you with us again and hope everything works out there. KD6LEN, Bill from Boulder Bay.
Good evening, all. Just listening in again, Tom. You know where I'm at. Under and under. KD6LEN.
Hey, Bill. Hey, better check your email. Got a little surprise there for you. Let's see here. Moving on down the list. AE6CK, Victor. Nothing heard there. How about KA6ROD, Rod? Alright, that pretty much is a list of everybody who checks in week to week. Anybody else out there want to check in as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
KJ6PYB.
KJ6PYV, you have passed the test. We get you on the list now. Thanks, Dave, for being out there. Anybody else? All right, well, nothing heard from that. That's pretty much anybody else who checks in or is out there, feel free to jump in any point in time. Well, Mike, real quick, don't hear Quint out there, so I don't have to worry about his report, I guess, this evening. Anything to report at all other than just bad news with the DX report? Back to you, Mike.
Tom, I wouldn't say bad news, but, you know, we're not kicking our heels together and jumping for joy and all that stuff we'd like to be doing. No, right now we've got a low activity, and Space Weather's reporting we can look forward to low activity for the next 24 hours or so. Sunspot, they're reporting a sunspot number of 59, but a solar flux index of 108, so, I mean, all is not lost. MUF a couple times has got up to 10 meters, but nothing spectacular, just lower 48. I think I heard Hawaii, and that's about it. That's about all. No DX to report. The radio's back, warmed up, ready to go, but there's not a lot out there. Okay, back over to you. Maybe somebody else has had better luck, somebody that has a little more listening ability than I do. Go ahead and see what we got going on, Tom. This is WV6TLZ. Back to you in net control.
Alrighty, yeah, I think it's been a little slack out there with conditions, but is there anybody else out there who's had any luck? Please come back with KF6Q, any DX you can report. Well, Mike, I'm going to say that dead air is probably the same thing that's out there on the DX. Well, anyway, this evening, got a little thing here with this webcam, but real quick, Bob, I don't see. Bob, are you out there? WA6MQF. Bob. Bob must be away from his radio, and Bob's working on an EME project, and I believe he's got his receive section working perfectly fine. He's got a great array there of, I think, four 2-meter Yagis, something like, what, about 12, 13, 14 elements, pretty good array, and he's ongoing with that, so we'll get another report from him maybe later on or another day. Right now, tonight, we're pulling from the QST March issue 2012, pages 38 and 39. Pretty neat little article. We'll keep this a little brief tonight. But, Mike, I think this is a pretty cool thing. What is one thing that happens to all us hams as we get older, sometimes even if we're younger?
Well, I don't know if it happens to all us hams, but it happened to me when I was about 40, and it continues to go. It seems like our eyesight is not quite as nice and as focused as it is when we're in our 20s and 30s. And I think we all need a little boost in focal power. Back to you, Tom.
Now, I copy that. I think I'll be 60 this year, and I feel fortunate. Only in the last couple of years and I might have put it off. I just didn't want to believe it. But, yeah, got some specs on basically when I read. And, yeah, and you know, this is a Tech Tuesday Net. We're about technology and electronics. And we like to keep it pretty light most of the time. But some of you out there like to experiment and dig into that radio and electronics. Well, it's great if you're working with stuff for years and years. It's pretty well-sized. You can pick that stuff up with your hands, not tweezers. And use a soldering iron and build stuff, whether it be complicated or simple or just having a whole lot of fun or doing minor repairs. Pretty neat stuff. Mike, I mean, I think we've all done some kind of kit work or something. Do you ever build a kit anything like that at all in your younger days?
I've built several kits. I know I built a Keyer that I can think of, and let's see, I was starting on a sideband transceiver in high school, but never could afford the rest of the parts for that thing, so it went by the wayside when Vietnam came up. And my latest experience, though, is my Elecraft was down, and I was going through the email field service routine with checking things and such, and they had determined that it was a KIO3 board, which is basically an input-output board, and that maybe an IC was bad. So they sent me an IC figure, and I would solder that thing in. Well, it's what's called surface mount technology. Heck, I've soldered ICs in before, but totally different. Fill us in there, Tom.
Yes. Well, you know what? Its abbreviation is SMD, and it's been around for a while. It's actually been around for quite a while. I think it started... trying to go back and remember when I first heard the word of surface mount technology and devices, and I think that was probably back in the 70s. I'm going to say about mid-70s, maybe later 70s, and pretty neat. I mean, obviously, it's small. That's the main thing. Everything is small now. No leads on the devices. They simply solder right to the surface of the board. One big thing, and it's good for technology, I don't know how they put these together with a machine. These parts can literally be as small as about 2,000ths by maybe 4 or 5,000ths on some of the parts. Not only are they that small, they actually have writing on them. Yes, writing that small. Well, you know, Mike, I mean, putting glasses on just to use regular stuff, we get down to that. I think the bare minimums is a 3-power, you know, magnifying glass, and 10 is better. And not only that, my big old soldering gun, which that had that fine point, looks like a monster underneath that solder. I mean, this is probably what you ran into with that device you were supposed to solder.
I didn't get that far. I'm kind of an old part of an old worse network station from the 70s, and it was a giant. I didn't get that far. Basically, I sent it back to them for free and told them, just keep it. But we got it going. Let them do the work, and they have the technology. Back to you, Tom.
And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group. Well, yeah, so enter the fact that since a lot of things are being built this way, and if we want to kind of check things out or move around in that, some of the devices are big enough that we can still use a very, very fine point soldering iron, but you got to be able to see what you're soldering. This month's issue, I should say March's issue, Wayne Smith, WA4WZP, came up with a really cool thing. He has the same problem we all did and came up with a really great answer. Webcam, Mike, I've got a webcam. I don't think I ever hooked it up. I think we've all heard of webcams. You ever used a webcam? Ever been on Skype or anything like that?
I think I sent one email where I used my webcam. Most of the time it just sits there and stares at me. And on my main computer, business computer downhill, same thing. Only it's got one that's clamped on there and it's not hooked up and it stares at me. So, yeah, once or twice and that's about it.
Webcams are cool. There's pros and cons to those. Number one, they're not like a video camera you're going to have for surveillance or take pictures of the kids or whatever, movies, home movies. Webcam really is meant to hook into a computer because the computer does a lot of the scanning work. And this is why the webcams are fairly cheap. I'm going to say reasonably inexpensive. There you go. There's a better term. I'm going to throw a shot out there of about $40. Sometimes it can be more and sometimes it can be less depending where you buy them. But, you know, a couple of Jacksons there and you got yourself a webcam. Now, the thing is, it has to hook into your computer, so the next thing is, of course, you've got to have a computer, and a laptop or a desktop or something, nothing really fancy, and you're good to go. But, Mike, you know, if you're like me, you know, I mean, I'm not going to send any video emails, but what is the coolest thing about this article that you see there? What did he do with a webcam and some free software he got off the Internet?
Just basically created himself a microscope, and if you get QSD, you can see the pictures. But looks like it puts it into a range where even us old guys can see it, which is kind of cool. Basically, he's got a little webcam on. Looks like a file holder, holding it on with one of those little clamps that you hold papers together. And by golly, he's got this. Looks like a modem focused on the thing and up on his screen. That's cool.
You know, and this is pretty neat. And you know, of course, he said that he has talking about a part he is looking at, and the gentleman is 72 years old. Just for reference, there. And some of these parts, one of these he's looking at here is about. What, 80,000s by 50,000s. Now, that's pretty big, actually, when you're looking under a microscope. But some of these are even smaller, which are 20,000s by 10,000s. And that's still very, very small. I mean, a piece of tin can is probably about 10,000. This is like one dimension of this part. Obviously, that's pretty tiny. And what he's done, like you said, he's taken this webcam, mounted it to anything just to focus it on the board, and at first he was using Skype. Then he found on the Internet, one of many, which is, we're not endorsing this, but one was Yawcam. It's in the article, yawcam.com, and it's pretty cool. Is free. Gentleman does take donations, like all. But there's a lot out there. If you Google webcam software, you'll find there's a lot of stuff out there. Good stuff that you pay for, great stuff that you can still get for free. And Mike, I think with this, he's got this to the point now where he's got a picture. He's got three pictures here in the article. And I got to say that that's got some tiny parts that I can see even after it's been printed in the magazine.
QSL, yeah, it's fantastic. I don't know what a microscope, I don't know what you would need, whether just a standard microscope would do that or an SCM, but very cool and well worth the price.
So for a webcam, which I'm not sure if you already had the webcam or you bought a webcam, but you'd be surprised, a lot of people out there, that's yard sale material, as long as the thing works, don't have to be real fancy. And I guess the software, a lot of software will work with just about any webcam. And yeah, if they're higher resolution, I guess that would be good. But good enough for basically some of the bigger parts. Get into some of the finer ones, yeah, well, you might need to get something a little bit better. But this is obviously very ingenious thinking here, innovative of using parts and repurposing parts, as we call it, and come up with something to solve a problem that we've all had as we grow older. We can't see the parts. It's like the forest for the trees. Back to you, Mike.
Well, I'm just kind of playing around on the YawCam website, and there is some stuff that's a little bit over my head, but I think there's good help, it looks like, and I think anybody could really get into this and take off and run with it. So I don't think it's out of the realm of anybody that's like an intermediate PC user. Over to you, Tom.
Right, if you're a little comfortable with PC, even just a little bit, and it doesn't take anything brand new, it does not have to be anything fancy, I think XYCam will work back to even Windows 2000. There's also XPCam that starts at XP and moves forward from there. So, you know, we got something out there. I even think, is that YCam, does it even go back to Windows 98?
I'm down to 2003, and that's as far as they have on their site, so I'm not sure.
Okay, roger that. And like I said, a lot of these sites, they have good software, pretty neat, does the job. A good thing to do is kind of look around. There is a site called CNET. That's the letter C, letter N, letter E, letter T. CNET is a very good site, does a lot of reviews, has a lot of references to shareware, freeware, and software that you can purchase, so very good site there of many that list out stuff like that. So if you want to get some reviews, good chance you can find some there if you're looking for something. A lot of reviews on the stuff, and they are very neutral, I'm going to say, corporation, and good place to visit if you're looking for stuff also. Anybody out there with any questions on this? Pretty basic stuff. A little bit neat if you're getting into the soldering iron and technology, and maybe you got to fix that one little resistor, but you got to be able to see the thing first. Please come back to KF6Q.
INW.
Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I was teaching until the end of last year. And a lot of the primary grades, kindergarten through second, have webcams in them so that they can easily look. I taught full-time at a high school in fourth grade also, and they didn't have webcams there, but they're maybe getting them. But the deal is you can put a paper, any paper under it, and either magnify it or spread it out, whatever suits to get what you want on it. And all in all, it's pretty simple. First time I used it, the kids had to explain to me how to do it. So maybe not that simple. K6YNW.
Very good point. I think back in the day, and I do mean back in the day, we had the thing called the overhead projector. And no, there was not a video input to it. It was basically a screen that you would show movies on or a white wall of the room, classroom. And this thing that was as big as about four concrete blocks and probably weighed about the same with this big old magnifying glass. And you would put this paper on there, and whatever you paper, pretty similar to that, it would project it. And you got to make sure that it didn't get too hot, or that paper would become smoking hot, literally. So, new technology. Now we have big flat-screen TVs. Flat-screen, actually the miracle that seemed like it took forever to come up with, and now it's just commonplace. And like I say, webcams and whatever. neat thing about the new technology, that can be video streamed to another classroom, to another continent. So great, cool stuff, this stuff. Neat things, neat teaching aids, and of course the applications go on and on. Anybody else with any other questions or comments, please come back.
W6POO.
Yes, Chip, go ahead. This is KF6Q with Tech Tuesday in the group. Go ahead, Chip.
Thanks, Tom, in the group. Timing couldn't have been more unique. I just got a hold of an old Johnson Viking boat anchor, and I'm tearing it apart, starting to rebuild, and I use my video camera on a macro lens setting to take pictures of the corrosion that's going on with the variable capacitors and the inductors inside, and sharing them with my Elmer by way of email, and who's sort of like looking at this stuff with me over the internet, and so he can see what I'm seeing in person, but the macro using the video camera, the still video camera, the same way what you're talking about with the camera on the computer. Same idea that I my eye can't see it nearly as close and as magnified as the camera can, and he's pointing out all kinds of things to look out for in terms or what needs to be done in terms of bringing this old 50-year-old transmitter up to life again.
Yeah, and Chip, that's a very good application right there. Look into some of the software and others out there. They have, and this is the free stuff, has video streaming capabilities where you can send them stills or whatever what you're doing, but you can literally stream video, you can record video, you can document something that you're doing like this, you know, step to step. It's always pretty cool. I mean, if you're working on a little project and maybe it was a little bit unusual, and you can use something like this just to document it along the way. You don't need a fancy camera. Like I said, a $40, I'm going to say that the webcams, Mike, I'm not sure what they run out there, but I know that they're at $40, possibly less, and you're probably going to get some that are more with a little more bells and whistles, but shop around and find something that just works and is used. You're going to find something really cheap that you can use out there and keep track of stuff. Another application, another way of scanning documents that you want to put into your files. Take a picture with the webcam, sock it away in a file if you don't have a scanner. This is another way of scanning a document without a scanner. So, pretty cool stuff. I mean, you want to open the door. Obviously, this is well beyond electronics, but beginning right there, pretty cool stuff. Anybody else, any comments or questions, please come back.
Ryan W. again.
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
Yes, unless things have changed, you can't move whatever's under it. It just goes into a blur. K6YNW.
And depending on what you're talking about there, I think a lot of that's related to the software. But, you know, and it's all work has to work together. But I think some of this stuff, yeah, it's really, you know, it's all based on the software with the webcam. Pretty cool things, though. And I know, I'm sure they have better webcams. I know the best webcams are like a megapixel or something like that. I'm sure there's better ones out there. So that might be something to look at, too. I mean, if you're actually going to put money out on something like this, come up with something, maybe even a still camera that has video capabilities, feed that in through the same loop, using something like that with higher resolution, better focus control possibly, a lot of different things here. But basically what Wayne has done here with his article and shared this with everybody with QST is that he has literally, you know, solved the problem that we all have here with a very, very simple means. Back to anybody out there with a question or a suggestion, please come back.
Yeah, I got one, Tom.
Yes, Mike, go ahead.
$40. I would think that any thrift store, any good thrift store worth its salt or Goodwill or something like that, you should be able to either pick up an older digital camera or cell phone or something, would hope that would have enough resolution. But if nothing else, webcams are pretty available there too for a couple of bucks. Back over to you, Tom.
Yeah, you know, and that's one thing, Mike. I mean, $40, I'm being, you know, the worst case scenario, probably bought it at the worst store possible, you know, and it's still going to be $40 and change, maybe more, plus shipping and handling. No, just kidding on that. But, yeah, no, if you shop around like anything else, really, really good stuff out there, yeah, I'm sure somebody can come up with something. The longer you shop for it, the better price you're going to find, so diminishing returns on that. But anyway, thought that was pretty neat, and we're not going to extend our Tech Tuesday too late. We're already into this by 30 minutes, but anything else to add, Mike, before we close? I know it's a pretty neat little topic.
I think it was a great topic. I think I'm going to try that with the webcam when I get down the hill with the bigger computer. But yeah, that's exciting. I think that is really neat and easy to just put together when you need it. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, pretty good stuff, too. I think I've got a webcam. Found it here somewhere, lost it again. I think I bought it about 3-4 years ago. Never hooked it up. Boy, what's that tell you? Yes, that is procrastination total. But anyway, now I have a very good excuse here to put this thing to use once I find it. I know it's here somewhere. Anybody else out there, any comments or questions before we close the net?
KJ6KDL.
Master Jim, here in Sugarloaf. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Well, we're having problems with Charter over here all of a sudden, so I'm having trouble getting my web search. But for anybody who happens to have a camcorder that does at least, well, composite video I guess would work, but S-video or HDMI if you're so lucky. I happen to have a high-definition 16x9 camcorder. It's about 4 years or so old, but it still does 1920x1080. And I have a high-definition television. And for about $16 or $17, I went to Fry's and got a nice HDMI cable. I can actually use my 56-inch television, 5/6-inch television, and a tripod and a light, which I already own, and get really nice close-up without a laptop. So that's an option for those who happen to have that kind of gear. Rosemary found some nicer webcams for those who want to spend the money. They're Logitech. Their HD 720p is called the C270 for $40, and the 1080. No, that was the 1080. The C525 is running about $60, and they have one even a pro webcam called the C920 for $100. If you get into the high stuff, for those who want the real definition, have the bucks. KJ6KDL.
Yeah, Jim, thanks for the tip there on Charter. I now have my radio next to my computer up here on the second floor, and yeah, that's ours is not working either right now. So must be something up with them. Real quick, those cameras that were $40, $60, and $100, what kind of options? Those are, I'm assuming, webcams possibly, and if they were, do they have, what are the resolutions? What are they offering out there now?
Yeah, those particular ones are coming highly rated by the technical community, specifically Leo Laporte and his crew. And there was one that's a 720p. I think it was the C is in Charlie. The Charlie 525, and the other one, the 920 is a $100 webcam that is true 1080p, and it looks like it even comes with a little side lights. It's got some bars on the side. Rosemary's using her her smartphone, so it's not quite as fast through Verizon. 1080p, so $100 will get you 1080p for those of you who need the resolution. But like I said, if anybody has any camcorders, there are some digital cameras that have cables that will get you HDMI into your television. That's another option. Just get a nice bright lamp, and away you go. You're good to go.
And KF6Q in the group here with Tech Tuesday. Every Tuesday we can at 1900 hours in the K6BB repeater. Well, Jim, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think the 1 megapixel is based on what a, I'm going to say 640 by 480 pixel screen. So if we're looking at 1080p stuff, we're definitely up there in the high definition range. And I'm going to say if we were to put that in a megapixel range, what, maybe somewhere around 4? Would that sound about right?
Actually, 1920 by 1080 is a 2 megapixel image. 19,020 by 1,080. So 640 by 480 is really about 1.2 megapixel. Am I counting right? 640 times 480. Yeah, about 2. No. Am I counting too? My math is off. I guess I worked too hard today. But 1920 by 1080 is definitely a 2 megapixel image. And they're talking about a 4 megapixel image coming down in TV in the next 3 to 5 years, but we're not there yet. So if you've got a camera, you can get higher resolution. Of course, taking still, so that's not going to be so much fun.
Yeah, I think if you've got the like the 480 by 640 or 640 by 480, whichever, and you double one and you double the other, which would be still under what you're saying there, that's four times the megapixels because you've multiplied it twice in both dimensions. So, but either way, main point is this math is just going to get us crazy anyway, but good news is that, you know, yes, they do have, I guess the $40 camera is really a pretty nice camera these days, where probably the $40 camera I bought 3 or 4 years ago is not as good, but would probably still work just fine. However, it might be the one that Mike says is out there at the thrift stores for $2 for $1 or something like that. But all I can say is shop around. Good information there, and thanks for looking that stuff up on your smartphone. I still have Charter down up here, so not sure what's going on. But appreciate that. Anybody else out there, any questions or comments, please come back.
YNW.
Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yep, I was talking to Catalina Repeater, and someone there just brought it up that he saw it in QST and was trying it out, so it's getting around, and that's cool. K6YNW.
You know, and one thing, too, and I know that the gentleman here in this article is using the fine tip. I've got one just like it, actually a couple of them, for working with small parts. The old famous Radio Shack 10-watt, 30-watt, variable or 15-watt, whatever it was, soldering iron. When you get into some of these parts, you're going to have to get into surface mount, bench tools, really a whole different avenue, or just say, hey, you know what, I'm working with surface mount devices that go down to this size, and that's it. If you do want to venture out there, though, look around. It's not cheap, but you can get really close to a very good surface mount bench, meaning the soldering gun and the tips, and they become hot air guns and nozzles. And you're going to be looking at probably about $300 to $500 plus or minus, depending on where you shop. But always good to look at that. That's putting down quite a few coins. So, but anyway, that will take you down to the level of a whole kit station with a magnifying glass. But I bet they don't have a webcam. So anyway, anybody else out there, any other questions or suggestions, please come back.
Hey, wind up again.
Chris.
Yep. For that kind of stuff, I get about a 10-watt little soldering iron. I think 35 watts is pretty big. K6 point of view.
Yeah, it is. And I think also I had some articles on this about a year or two ago. Actually, a guy built his own little hot air gun using a couple of neat but not... It's all about repurposing different things. Starting out with, you got to have something there to flow through, and I think he had, I'm going to say, some type of hypodermic needle, something very tiny, to have that little tiny air jet, and then hook this into a hot air gun. Definitely down there to the fine points there, but it's a little more technical, gets a little harder to put this stuff together, so... You know, it all depends on your, I guess, mechanical abilities and finesse for that stuff. So, good things that can be done, and also can be done if you don't have the money to plunk down. There's always another way. Anybody else out there with any comments or suggestions?
W6POO.
Yes, Chris, go ahead. I'm sorry, Chip.
Just looking at the article real quickly. It's all great stuff. A couple of things. We used to spend, when I was working, about $40. Put it in perspective, we spend $40 on lens covers, lens caps. But so that's a very cheap price for a great camera, or at least a good camera gets you up and running, I would think. And the when you were talking about the soldering guns and such, I was thinking about, as it said, it also said in the article, I believe, be very, very careful that you can ruin your newly put in place IC that you're trying to, you know, very gingerly and tenderly put back into service, or replace and put into service, because heat will destroy real quickly anything. I've had that happen with diodes and transistors and such. So it's really tricky to do this kind of stuff. I appreciate what Mike was saying about just you guys fix it. We'll kind of go from there, but. It's all fun. I mean, it's kind of the kind of thing I would give it a go, but certainly not on something that's going to be key to your gear, to your shack, until you really know what you're doing with it. W6POO.
You know, and Chip, I think that's a good idea. I think if I was going to start, which I really would like to mess around with stuff, is I think one of us, or we all have an old CD-ROM that was in a computer, or if you can, you could probably find something at a swap meet or a yard sale for almost free. But they have a lot of surface mount parts, and if that thing works, fine. If it doesn't, you got it there simply to take apart and practice. If something gets cooked, oops, oh well, it doesn't matter. A lot of the transistors, and they're tiny to boot, have pads on the bottom. They don't have leads. They don't even have leads on the side. They're actually leads on there. There's metallization on the bottom. It's like a little black rectangular chip. And they're soldered literally by heating them up to a temperature that'll melt the flux and solder underneath them. So obviously they're withstanding some very high temperatures. We know that that stuff melts well up around, well, I'm going to say, what, 500-600 degrees, maybe 700 degrees. But there's a time limit. That's the key point. They'll only withstand that for a certain amount of time. If you want to solder something like that, you bring them up to that temperature, make sure it flows, and get the heat off really quick. So a little bit of skill there. Like Chip says there, very easy to destroy a part with heat. You've got to be careful. And good to practice with something cheap and non-critical. So good point there, Chip. Appreciate that. Anybody else? Any other questions or suggestions? Please come back. KO6Q.
YNW.
And there is Chris. Yes, Chris, go ahead.
Yes, I'm replacing a brick in a final brick in one of my radios. And as I put one in, I haven't finished yet, but as I put one in, they have leads on them. I put pliers up higher on it while I'm soldering it just to help insulate it. K6YNW.
On one little mishap I had with soldering, and which has nothing to do with the camera stuff here, but I want to mention this. We did a little thing here a couple years ago at a Tech Tuesday antenna workshop, taking a SO239 chassis mount connector. Simply made a real simple by soldering some wires onto the four corners and a center piece coming up. Made a neat little ground plane. Dimensions are pretty easy to be had. A lot of stuff out there on the internet. Really easy to find. Here is an issue. Be careful what the core is of that SO239. Had one gentleman brought one that was PVC core, and it melted and fell out. Other ones have something closer to Teflon, a lot better. Some of the older ones are like a phenolic material. I had one, and what happened after heating it up, it shrank, and it shrank enough that it didn't fall out, but it crushed the inner connector so that I could not put a plug into it. I thought, how did this get so tiny? It fit a minute ago. So got to be very careful with the amount of heat we use, how long it's there, Otherwise, you're going to end up with a lot of good surprises there, and some of them aren't going to be too nice. Anyway, good point there. Anybody else with any questions or suggestions, please come back.
Okay, YNW again.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yep. When I use the SL4, I just put a screw for the radials, bent the radials, and just screwed them down. It's no problem to connect the coax to the SO4. Then I put a PL259 with a quarter wave in it, so I wasn't soldering in on the top part of the SO4. K61W.
Good tip there, very good tip. And yeah, I think that's one thing too, even with if you use a chassis connector, an option, because basically this is something we want to use as a desktop ground plane, possibly in case of lightning emergencies. We've recommended that in the summer up here, or any place with lightning, storms and thunder and stuff like that. The little eye connectors that are crimp or without the crimp, without the plastic, you can also put little small machine bolts with that on the corners, solder those, solder them separate. A lot of different things to do. And like Chris said there too, you can always put some type or chip, whichever you said that, vice grips, pliers, needle nose, something to use as a heat sink out there to bleed that stuff away. Little techniques and stuff like that all help. Anyway, anybody else out there, questions or suggestions, please come back. All right, well, I think we've had a lot of good stuff here this evening and sidebarred a little bit of soldering techniques and a lot of good stuff coming up. Next week, one thing which is in the same article on the next page, good gentleman here, Eric Nichols, KL7AJ. He's had an article last year and an article this year, and this is a little bit into the theory of what we're talking about, the ionosphere. Things may not be exactly what they are, is what we've been thinking. We've done a lot of experiments, and we're going to probably delve into that next week. So anyway, glad everybody could join us this evening, and appreciate everybody out there who's with us every week. Please come back again next week and enjoy the rest of this evening. Oh my gosh, sorry, gentlemen, we are actually almost 50 minutes in there again with Tech Tuesday, but all righty, well, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday Net, closing the net at 1900 hours and 47 minutes. Thanks again for everybody who's joined in, and I'll be right here for a little bit after that. Returning the repeater back to normal use, KF6Q.